Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network. We are wrapping things up as far as our high school basketball coverage. This will be our final weekend where we announce our WPIAL teams of the week, boys and girls, our WPIAL players of the week, boys and girls. And the girls has a strong green tint to it. You'll get my drift here shortly. But and then next weekend, we'll have our Trib 10 all-star teams, our head of the class for each classification, player of the year, coach of the year, and then our WPIL player of the year. So that's all coming up, I think, next week. I'm just sort of cuffing it here. It's probably in 2 weeks, but I'm going to say it's next week. I think we do that right after the state playoffs. Anyway, Greg Houston, head coach of the PIAA 4A champion Blackhawk Cougars, has a kind ring to it, sure is our guest. Lot going on since we last spoke, that's for sure. Yeah. But congratulations to you and all the Cougars.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind 24 hours here, but it definitely feels good. I'm glad to be here.
Completing your first year as the head coach of the Blackhawk Cougars, 18th year overall, most of them spent as head coach of the Beaver Bobcats.
Yeah.
That doesn't take anything away from the moment and that you should be enjoying. It's got to feel, though, really special for the girls knowing what they went through the last couple of years. You know, high expectations, WPIAL championship, lose to North Catholic, rebound, PIAA playoffs, you make it all the way to championship, you lose there a year ago. Yeah. Then this year, it's sort of the same thing, undefeated section title, fall to North Catholic in heartbreak fashion in the district playoffs. Finally, they get a taste of gold.
Yeah, I mean, these girls have been through a lot. And, you know, I've been there as both a player and a coach, and I know what that feels like to lose those games. You know, you feel sick to your stomach. You know, when we lost to North Catholic in 2018 on a buzzer beater, no less, you know, I didn't sleep for a month. It felt like after that one. So, you know, I know these girls were hurting. You know, girls like Alina and the Romai twins, you know, they talked about it almost every day. And, you know, they were hurting. And especially after we lost this year, you know, to lose three in a row for them, it was, you know, I wasn't there for those first two. But, you know, Alina kept saying, I'm sick of losing championship games. So, you know, we hung in there and, you know, give the girls credit. They battled through and, you know, we finally got one. And I told them, I said, hey, you know, we lost that Whippeal, but, you know, this one feels better anyway. So that game, you know, it hurt back then, but you can barely remember it now.
That's part of the to me, the curse of the PIAA playoffs, no matter what sport you're talking, is that if you do win a WPIAL championship, you really don't get a chance to celebrate it. Maybe one night, and then you're back in the gym getting ready for the quick turnaround or the playing field, whatever sport it is, getting ready for the start of the state playoffs. Whereas, you know, there's the finality now that, you accomplish the highest point, which is a state championship, and you don't have to worry about any heartbreak down the road, at least this season, that it really truly does end on a high note.
Yeah, it does. It's you know, for me, I did it as a player back in 99 and, you know, it was 25 years ago though, so it's hard to remember, but, you know, now, you know, it feels good because you're the last team standing, you know, everybody else went home sad at some point. You know, we get to head into spring here in summer and we're feeling good. So that's a nice feeling for sure. I like that.
I'm glad you brought up that 99 Blackhawk team, the legendary coach John Miller. That was your junior year, I believe.
Correct.
You guys won the state championship. Knocking off Holy Ghost Prep. Compare the feeling you had upon winning that as a player, as opposed to the feeling you had when you won on Saturday at the Giants Center?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely different. You know, as a player, you go through the season, you show up every day for practice, and, you know, Coach Miller has his coffee and his little folded paper ready to go. And you do what he asks you to do, and then you go home. And you know, he didn't ask us to watch film. He didn't ask us to break anything down. We just showed up and played and did what we were supposed to do. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's the best to ever do it. So, you know, you feel a comfort of just, you know, if I show up and do my job, we're going to be okay. You know, so when we won, I was ecstatic. I just texted my friend Dennis, who was on that team. And after we won, we ran around the court with the trophy, you know, the whole way around. And, you know, Coach Miller's yelling at us and, you know, settle down, calm down, Greg. But, you know, so it was a great feeling back then. You know, we were ecstatic to win it. You know, we lost in 2000 and that one hurt bad. But, you know, comparing it to coaching, it's completely different because, you know, you're in charge of everything. You know, the hours, you know, breaking down film, creating practice plans. You know, we create a playbook for every opponent, you know, try to see what they're doing and create the playbook so that when we get to practice, we can go through every play they run and understand it, understand concepts. And, you know, to do all of that extra stuff and then have it pay off, I think it's a little bit sweeter because, you know, all the work that goes in behind the scenes, sure. You know, when it pays off on the court, man, you feel good about, you know, the loss of sleep and the late nights and all that other stuff feels a lot better when it comes to fruition on the court. So it was a lot of fun.
You know, you made an interesting point, and I wanted to touch on something with you, and it maybe sort of meshes together, maybe it doesn't, about the changing of the times back, you know, the coaches died to get film back in the day, any sort of film on an upcoming opponent, whether it was in the district playoffs or the state playoffs. I think that you were mandated in the district playoffs to at least give two.
Yeah.
But, you know, times obviously have changed with the internet and the various huddles and things like that, where anybody, you know, not only coaches, but also the players can break down film. And I've talked to a lot of the players that we talk to, you know, on our Team of the Week podcast. And now these are the elite players, and maybe they're elite for a reason, but they seem to really enjoy that aspect of watching upcoming opponents or watching their own film and breaking down things they can, you know, how they can improve and stuff like that. And to me, that's got to be a major improvement over, you know, just a coach having the info and trying to get it at least in those couple hours of practice from his head as far as a game plan to the kids and for them to thoroughly understand. Whereas now, if the kids are doing their homework, that's less of a burden on you guys.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, you know, I remember as a player, you know, we would every once in a while, we had a little film room in the locker room and we'd go down there and, you know, you pop the VHS tape in and, you know, you can't really fast forward or rewind it. So if you see something, you just move on. I mean, you can't really do anything anyway. But yeah, it's definitely changed. And like you said, with huddle and with YouTube and everything, everybody has access to it. And, you know, I know you had Aubrey on here last week and, I mean, I know, you know, I give her the playbook for the upcoming opponent and she's writing notes on it. And then she's going back and watching film and she's taking her own notes. And, you know, it makes such a difference for us as coaches because they do have a little bit more access to it. And like you said, I think the elite players, you know, they want to make sure they're really prepared because they're fighting for scholarships and things like that. So they want to go out and play their best. And obviously they want to win, but so, you know, people like Aubrey, people like Alina, they're putting in that extra work. And it's much easier.
Yeah. They're becoming students of the game, and they want that mental edge. They may have a physical edge, but they want that mental edge as well, which leads me to the question I was going to ask that I'm tying in. And again, maybe it does tie in and fit, or maybe it doesn't, but it was to me startling. And you guys were the king culprits, if you will, if you're a person that appreciates a good offensive game. How good the defenses were. You know, there are times, and I'm talking mostly about the girls' game now, in the district playoffs, in the state playoffs. And I'm not just talking about your team. I'm talking about so many low-scoring games, and I'm thinking it can't be, you know, all of a sudden people forgot how to score. Yes. To me, it's just the dedication that coaches and or players or both are putting into that aspect of the game. And to me, this year, it really, really showed. I know you're sort of focused on what you guys had to do, your next opponent, yeah, make sure you guys were doing well. And I don't know that you had a chance to sort of look at the big picture, but man, it was extremely telling this year.
Yeah, you know, I think, like you said, with the film, you know, everybody has a little bit more access, so you can understand offense a little bit better. So I think that's certainly part of it. But you know, probably the other aspect of it is that, especially when you get to the higher levels, you know, almost every team's putting five really good athletes out there on the court. And you know, I know I felt like even our championship game yesterday or on Saturday, you know, the other team, Scranton Prep, they put out five really good athletes. We put out five really good athletes, right, and we had a couple more coming off the bench. And when you got good athletes going after each other, you know, there was a lot of scorers on the court, but, you know, sometimes
not a lot of room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the athleticism, I think, is winning out a little bit over the scoring aspect. And, you know, we use that to our advantage, especially this year.
In general, real quick, before we get back to your team, in general, is that good or bad for girls basketball?
Yeah, I mean, you could probably argue it any way you wanted to, but at the end of the day, we're trying to win games. You know, however we can win them, we'll win them. And, you know, I've been a defensive coach, you know, as much as I want to score, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes the easier way to win is to stop the other team. And, you know, I had success with that at Beaver, and it worked this year, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, defense always travels, no question about it. You had a Greg Houston, the head coach of the Blackhawk Cougars girls basketball team, a very interesting offseason. You stepped away from your after the great successful run you had with the Bobcats for family reasons. And I think that's where we lose, to be honest, selfishly, we lose a lot of good young coaches. And I have no problem with that. Family first is big with me.
Yeah.
But you know, you were ready to walk away. You wanted to watch your daughter who was going into high school.
Yeah.
You wanted to watch your son, who's in, I think, going to the sixth grade, if I'm not mistaken. and nothing wrong with that. But then Steve Ludovico, the outstanding head coach at Blackhawk, the girls basketball program, resigns. Your daughter is, you guys live in the Blackhawk school district. But it wasn't like, you know, connect the dots and automatic. You struggled with making that decision to take over the Blackhawk program.
Yeah, you know, I was burned out. You know, it had been 17 years, 3 at Neshanic, 14 at Beaver. And I felt really burned out, and I didn't really want to do it. You know, Steve resigned, and, you know, of course everybody starts saying, "Oh, you know, you're going to apply. And I was like, "No, I don't want to. I just want to watch."
Right.
You know, my son's in 7th grade. He'll kill me if I don't correct you on that, because he's in 7th, so we'll make sure we get that correct. I just wanted to watch. I just wanted to be a fan, a parent, just sit in the stands and, you know, criticize the coach instead of being criticized, you know, all the time. So I was ready for that. And you know, a couple of things. My assistant coach this year, RJ Brown, we've been friends since 7th grade. He said, you know, you really should do this. And I said, well, I won't do it unless you come with me. And you know, he finally agreed to that. And I still wasn't sure, but my wife, you know, she was on me a little bit. And then the thing that really got me, a couple people said to me, "You're going to regret not working with your daughter." And, you know, that's the one that really hit home. And so, you know, it's funny. I went to the interview. I knew most of the people in there, you know, for most of my life. And sure. I told him, I said, I thought it was funny. They asked me, I said, "I'm burned out." I said, I don't even know if I really want this job. And I walked out of the interview and said, man, I'll never get this job. And then they called me and said, hey, you're hired. And I was like, oh, man. So yeah, you know what? I'm thankful to those people who talked me into it, my assistant, my wife, you know, those people that talked to me about working with Grace. And you know, I no regrets now. They were right. I was burned out and looking at it from a fatigue perspective, and they were looking at it in the long term, and ultimately I'm glad I listened to those people.
So you don't feel that burnout anymore? It's almost like new life has been breathed into you.
I feel really burned out right now. I'm not gonna lie about that. But yeah, I mean, this season was very, you know, reinvigorating, I guess would be a good word. You know, working with these kids here, you know, I love the kids at Beaver. You know, 14 great years there. A lot of my former players texted me, you know, yesterday congratulating me, and that means a lot to me. You know, so, you know, that was special for me. But, you know, in a way it was kind of like a change of scenery, a change of pace. And, I do feel certainly reinvigorated. And a lot of that was, the fact that I was able to watch my daughter really up close, and I was able to make all my son's games as well. So it really worked out, and, you know, everything that I was worried about just kind of melted away as the season went on.
No, that's awesome. That's tremendous, because it is, again, the tough part is losing great coaches, and if we can somehow find a way to keep them, then that's all for the good. Let's sort of go back a week. You guys, when you bounce back from that heartbreak against North Catholic, was there, before we talk about this past week, was there concern on your part? I mean, talking to Aubrey last week, I asked her, was it tough to get back on the horse again after such a gut-wrenching loss? And she was like, no, you know, it made us more focused. Is that what you felt when the team came back at getting ready for the States?
Yeah, you know, we played on a Saturday. We took Sunday off. We got back in the, you know, film room on Monday. And I told the girls, brand new season, brand new tournament. And, you know, let the last one go and let's move on. And I never felt like we hung our heads. You know, I'm sure Sunday was tough. It was tough for me, and I'm sure it was tough for the girls. But Monday afternoon, we were ready to go. And we had a great week of practice leading up to that first state playoff game. And you know, it just kind of rolled from there. So I think probably it was helpful that they had done the same thing the year before. You know, most of those girls right. had gone through that process. So, you know, I think that was a big part of it. But, you know, these girls got a lot of fight in them, and, you know, they proved it in that state tournament. So you got to give them a lot of credit for just, you know, bucking up and getting after it.
State semifinals against Wyomissing, the District 3 champions, who began the state playoffs, I believe, the only undefeated team, boys or girls,
correct,
in the PIAA postseason, 1-3 in the States. They meet you guys. You're down one after one. You're up three at the half. Still tight going into the fourth quarter. You guys finished with a strong kick, outscoring them 18-8. Some of the keys to that victory over Wyomissing.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest key was that we did a great job on their big girl, Maya Stewart. She's got some Division I offers, you know, 6'2", you know, or so, and just, you know, just a really tough player. And, you know, Aubrey did a fantastic job, you know, matching up with her one-on-one. But we gave Aubrey a lot of help, too. And, you know, we felt like we had a pretty decent game plan for trying to stop her. At the end of the day, you know, she averaged 19. We held her to 18, so we didn't necessarily do a – perfect job, but really the big key was that, you know, Aubrey made her work for everything, and then everyone else did a great job defensively as well, because they're role players who all averaged around 9 or 10 points. You know, those girls ended the game with 3 or 4 points, and that was really the big thing. But, you know, the other part of it was hitting key shots. And, you know, that's when you win big games, you got to hit shots in big moments. Alina hit 2 big threes in the fourth quarter. I think they had cut it to 4, and she hit 2 threes back to back. Mia Sheasley, one of our sophomores, came in and hit 2 big threes, one a buzzer beater, and then one in the third quarter, I believe, that you know, helped us out. So, you know, we hit big shots and big moments and then play good D on top of it.
Get to the championship, back to Hershey for the girls, against Scranton Prep, the District 2 champs. And the way you guys have been playing defense, 33 points per game in the PIAA, the five PIAA postseason games. And again, it goes back to the regular season in the district playoffs. But you guys are up 14-7 after one. You had to be feeling pretty good. You take an 8-point lead into the locker room. An 8-point lead is nice, but man, the way you guys are playing defense, that's probably, maybe not in your eyes, but probably felt to a lot of people like an 18-point lead.
Yeah. And, you know, we felt like every single quarter, we felt like we had buried them. You know, it was 14-4 in the first, and they came back and hit a shot, you know, right in the last minute. It was 25-14, and they came back and hit a shot in the last minute. And then the third quarter, we got up 15, and they came back and hit a couple threes, and they ended up cutting it all the way down to 4 points. But every time we felt like we had them buried, you know, they would hit some big shots. But ultimately, it was about our ability to hit some clutch shots as well. And in that fourth quarter, Alina had a big three. Aubrey had a couple big shots, hit a little jumper, hit a layup. And then the foul shooting down the stretch was really the difference in the game, because they cut it to four. I think Alina hit a three, and then we just started knocking foul shots down because they had to start fouling us. So, you know, the clutch aspect of it, why I'm missing, was the same thing. We most of those 18 points in the fourth quarter were coming from the foul line, and then same thing on Saturday against Scranton as well. So, you know, when girls step up and knock big shots down, obviously it's a huge thing, and that's why we won.
That's the difference between winning and losing. Winning teams take care of business at the charity stripe, right, especially in the clutch. Aubrey was our player of the week last week. Elena's going to be our player of the week this week. So they're going to get, and rightly so, a lot of credit, a lot of love. But talk about some of the other key players to this championship team.
Well, I think first and foremost, you have to start with Andrea Kinger. You know, I told her on the bus after the game, I walked back and I said, I don't know how many points you had. I don't care how many points you had, because I felt like she was the second half hero of that game. They started pressing us when they got down. She handled everything they threw at her. I think she's the best point guard, pure point guard,
right,
in the WPIAA, maybe, you know, maybe the state, whatever you want to say. She gets no attention. She gets no credit, and the girl deserves it. She was fantastic. She, like I said, handled everything they threw at her. I was so proud of the way that she played, and we would not have won that game without her. And that's a guarantee, because she is just, she's unbelievable with that basketball, and I thought she was fantastic. And then the other people that you got to give credit to are the Romai twins. You know, a couple more unsung heroes. They don't fill up the stat sheet with points, but they're going to give you steals. They're going to give you deflections. They're going to give you rebounds, and they're just going to play tough defense. And they were fantastic in both the Wyoming missing game and the championship game. Locking people down. So I think those three girls in particular, and then the last one I'll shout out is Ava Davis. She's our sixth girl the whole year. I thought she was fantastic. She just gives us another element of toughness and speed and athleticism. And, you know, I was really proud of those girls in particular. We know Aubrey and Alina are going to put the ball in the hoop, but it takes those other girls doing their job. And, you know, Mia Sheasley, like I said, had some big shots as well. So, you know, all of our role players stepped up and did what they were supposed to do.
Sixth straight year that a WPIL girls basketball team wins a state championship. That team is the Blackhawk Cougars, and their rookie head coach, Greg Houston, kind enough to join us. Greg, as always, enjoy the chat. Relax, get some rest, but live it up, and make sure that everyone in the community is picking up your grocery tab when you go out as well. All right? Right.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate you, all your help behind the scenes. And again, congratulations.
Thanks so much, Don. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
All right. Greg Houston, head coach of the Blackhawk Cougars, our WPIAL team of the week. Why not They are the PIAA 4A champions, knocking off Scranton Prep by a score of 56-44. We'll take a look at 3A, 2A, and Class A, even though no district teams were involved. We'll look at them in our Player of the Week podcast with Elena Fusetti coming up later. In Class 5A girls, Archbishop Wood from District 12 wins 37-27 over District 10 champion Cathedral Prep out of Erie. And in 6A, Cardinal O'Hara from District 12. At first, District 12, and they continue to do well in boys, don't get me wrong. But now the girls teams from District 12, that Philly area, are all racking up championships. Cardinal O'Hara beats Springford from District 1 suburban Philadelphia 42-26 to win the 6A championship. All right, that is our final girls basketball team of the week. Let me see if I have the, yeah, I do. So here are the teams of the week here in 2023-2024. The Norwood Knights in week one, Aliquippa Quips in week two, Elizabeth Forward Warriors in week three, Lincoln Park Leopards in week four, Upper St. Clair Panthers in week five, Trinity Hillers week six, Penn Hills Indians in week seven, Laurel Highlands Mustangs in week eight, South Fayette Lions, three-time WPL champions in week nine, North Catholic Trojans in week 10, McKeesport Tigers in week 11, and the Blackhawk Cougars, our 12th and final girls basketball team of the week. Thanks to Greg Houston. Thanks to Chris Lackner, our producer. Thanks to you for joining us. Rebel Yell Podcast, Trib Live, High School Sports Network.